What's killing me softly is my work performance. It
Tell me about that bar situation.
was so bad. So they put me on bar, which is the place where you're making the drinks. So you steam milk in a cup, and that cup is supposed to, or the milk
It's like
is
a
supposed to
pitcher, right?
stay in there. Yeah. It's not supposed to come out of there. But if you don't pull the handle, like the handle down all the way, it comes out onto your partner, which is your coworker's pants lap. So I steamed milk all over my hands and his front part. And then I moved over to this other station where you turn a pitcher upside down to wash it on this special little thing in the sink that shoots hydraulic water out
Into the pitcher, so it's no problem.
into the pitcher. But then one day, when you don't have a pitcher on there and you just hit it with your hand and shoot it in someone's face, they don't like that. They're like, whoa, that's not cool. It's so cold and it's so fast powered. The way that I did it, angled it with my hand, it went to her eyeballs and her armpits. This girl is so funny. She's like, that's some shenanigans. That's some shenanigans right there. She was not happy. That's all she said. She walked away. And then what else happened?
What did you
Oh,
do?
I started bleeding. What did who
Okay.
do?
What did you do after she said that's some shenanigans and walked
I mean,
away?
all I say is I'm sorry. I'm all day. I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Spin around in a circle. I'm sorry. Everything wrong. So then I'm making like a drink and I look down and my hands are bleeding. Thing. So that was not like a OSHA situation. Is it OSHA that comes in and shuts the place down?
Yeah, or just takes you out.
Like they pick me up and place me outside.
Put you in a hazmat bag. So, did you get blood into the latte?
No, I think because of like it's so cold here, and then now all of a sudden my hands are like washing extra dishes and
Yeah.
touching extra like cleaning chemicals and stuff. They're like
Lots of
super
rags
chapped.
to clean the bar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're just so chapped that they're bleeding. But I
That's
fixed that. I
hysterical.
fixed it. Everything was fine. So then I was like, they're like, Katie, please go on your break. I'm like, yes,
Please.
thank you. I said, I'm sorry. And I ran away. So I tried to make my own drink, which I don't know how to make drinks either.
Why were you on bar? What?
Well, I mean, this is the busiest one in Connecticut. There's no, like, they're doing their darndest to train me, but they're just handing me cups and it's got this, sticker on it with like 45 acronyms. And I'm like, I don't know what any of these things mean, where they live, how much of them to use. I don't know anything. It's crazy.
Oh
So
my
anyway,
gosh.
I was like, I can make a cold brew coffee. It's just coffee and water. I'll make that for myself. So I put the cap on, it collapses sideways. It shoots out high into the air. It's like, give me a freaking break. I can't do anything. So it was a really bad day. So then I take to Instagram and
Take it.
I do a story. And I'm like, I just have to tell you about my day. It was so awful. And then my car dome lights turn off. I was like, just sitting in the dark. I'm like, I can't even do an Instagram video.
Welcome back, friends. You are listening to The Struggle Well Project, the podcast that helps you love your actual life so that you don't need to run away from home. We believe here that perfection is nonsense and peace is a perspective shift away. So at the top of the show, you heard me and my sister talking about her terrible first day at work. And honestly, doesn't it just make you feel better knowing that some people have days that are disasters as well? So for those of you who love the pod and want to show your support and get access to additional content, you can head over to patreon.com/strugglewellproject. You can join for as little as a dollar a month and you get extra content from me and my sister. And we will hear step by step, disaster by disaster, how it's going for her at Starbucks. So today is the day that my family celebrates our adoptions of both of our kids. They happened at roughly the same day of the year, but on different years, like 2 years apart. And so we celebrate the end of March, our family day, where we just kind of Every year is a little bit different. This year we went to an escape room. We all got kidnapped at precisely 2:45 p.m. We were blindfolded, we were handcuffed, and we had to figure out how to get out of that room, just the four of us. It hurt my brain. It felt like 15 minutes, but we did manage to get out and escape with 3 minutes to spare. So we're not like super impressive MacGyver type escape artists, but or Jack Bauer if you're younger. But we did actually finish, and some people don't finish. So I would say we're average escape artists. So anyhow, I had a perspective shift. Or I guess I noticed that a perspective shift had happened because at dinner we went around and I always make everybody answer the question, like, how has each particular person in our family, how have they grown this year and how have they blessed you this year? And so we kind of all go around and talk about that. And they chose that I would go first, and my daughter said that I have grown this year and she feels like I don't freak out about as many things and as often. So she feels like I have a better attitude than I used to have. And that is always a good thing to hear, especially from the kid who you butt heads with a lot. And then my husband said, I would have to agree with that. You are doing way better with your attitude than you used to be. So I don't know, guys, I was really encouraged just now. And I think that perspective shifts and reframing things really does work. I mean, and prayer and, I don't know, probably cutting out carbs. I mean, I don't do that. I was eating pasta while we talked. So anyway, I just want to tell you that we are going to do the second part of the WELL framework, W-E-L-L. If you did not hear the first one, it was a couple weeks ago. Go back and listen on wait. In a couple weeks, we're going to talk about expect. And then we're going to talk about the two L's here at the end of April and the beginning, well, the middle of May. So I just want to encourage you that there is a way to struggle well, and there is a measurable kind of framework. And I was really encouraged that today my family said it's actually working. So be encouraged, keep listening to the show, and we will be struggling well and weller with each passing week. And I know that wasn't right for grammar people out there. So my guest this week is Emily Freeman. I'm sure you know who she is, so I don't even need to introduce her. And she will tell us a little bit more about herself as we go. She has a podcast called The Next Right Thing. I'm sure that you also know about that podcast. It is a lovely place to go and listen and get a different perspective than maybe you had before. And she's got the loveliest, calmiest voice around. So you are going to enjoy this chat. So let's go ahead and get started. Good morning, Emily. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm so good. Where do you live?
North Carolina.
It's beautiful there. I've been to the Outer Banks. Is that in North Carolina?
It is. Yep.
I went crabbing there.
Oh, you did?
Have you done that?
No, but my husband used to do it growing up, all when he was little.
It was really fun. I got pinched by a crab, but then we ate him, so I felt like I won in the end. So good.
That's good.
So will you tell people who exactly you are for people who don't know?
Sure. Well, so I'm in North Carolina. My husband, John, and I have been married a little over 17 years. We've got three kids, twin girls who are 15 in high school, and our son is 12 in middle school. And so, yeah, I write and I host a podcast. So I've written 5 books now, and I host a podcast called The Next Right Thing, which was a surprise. I originally thought that podcast was going to be my next book, and I was trying to sort of force it into a book, and it turned out to want to be spoken instead of written, which was interesting for me. So I had to figure out how to do a podcast. I'm sure you can appreciate that.
Yes.
And it was not easy at first, but when I started doing it, this was maybe in the fall of 2017, I think, I really found I enjoyed it. And I loved that format and the medium and connecting with people in that way. So that's been a surprise gift in my work the past year and a half that I've really come to enjoy. But I still feel like at the heart of it, I'm a writer, and that's kind of how I process the world. And so I really love standing at the intersection of faith and creativity and sort of helping people create a little space for their soul to breathe so that they can sort of get in touch with their own image-bearing identity in the presence of God and then be able to discern their next right thing in love.
Okay, but it did turn into a book. So how did that happen?
Yeah, it did turn into a book. Surprise, surprise. Well, it's funny because, you know, I feel like my job as a writer, well, I guess maybe our job as humans in many ways is to pay attention to two things, to pay attention to what's happening around us and to be present and aware, and also to pay attention to what's happening within us. So sort of this outer and inner world and how they interact. And I think as a writer, sometimes if I'm not paying attention to my inner world, I can get swept away by what's happening on the outside. So I went through a period of time where I was trying to make a decision, like it was just a decision-making time of my life where I had several things kind of in transition. And as I was getting wrapped up in this outer decision, I also started to notice what that was doing on the inside. And for me, this was years ago, this is maybe 3 years ago. For me, what was happening was I was becoming either when I was not in a great headspace, super overwhelmed and afraid and overanalyzing everything. Mm-hmm. Or I was in this place of really trusting God for my next right step and just paying attention to conversations with friends or sermons I would hear or people I would come across that I was sort of taking notes to help me make this decision.
Okay.
And I noticed that while the decision was important and I wanted to make it and want to be wise about it, but I also noticed, isn't it interesting the power that indecision has in our lives? Because it forces us, we have to choose something. And even not making a choice is a choice.
Yeah.
And so I started sort of, even though the outside was decision, make this decision or not, the ins and outs of that, the inside was, look how this is forming me. Look how this is shaping my next move. Look how this is affecting how I feel on the inside and my walk and all the things. Mm-hmm. And so I started taking notes thinking like, oh, there's something to this. And it felt the way it was coming up in me, the way past books have felt, because this would be, you know, this would be my fifth. So it had the same urgency in me, the same aliveness and excitement that I wanted to look into it more. So I started taking notes and I even set a date to start working on it. I think it was like January of 2016 or something.
The book.
But I was going to start working on the book, because this again was coming up in the ways that past books had. That January, when I sat down to try to work it out, the way a book should be worked out in my mind, the way all my other books are worked out, mm-hmm. it wasn't happening. It was so frustrating. It was like start and stop. There was no narrative arc. There was no, I just couldn't find the thread. And it was discouraging. It was a little overwhelming. I was kind of mad at myself. I kind of thought, well, it was a great run writing books, but I guess that's over. It's done. It's never happening again. And I had to kind of put it aside. And then over time, I started just unrelated. I started really getting into audiobooks, listening to podcasts. I was on the scripture reading team at my church where we read scripture out loud during the sermon or during the service. And I started really loving the something about saying words out loud.
Yes.
It activates a different part of your brain and your body than writing them. Same goes for hearing words versus reading them. It's just a different experience. And slowly those two things started to come together where I thought, oh, this decision-making idea I have, maybe it will never be a book. Maybe it doesn't want to be a book, but maybe there's something to this short form, you know, week to week exploration of what happens in us when we have a decision to make and how doing the next right thing can really bring some freedom and life into the decision making process.
PrepDish is a healthy subscription-based meal planning service. I use it personally myself. When you sign up, you're going to get an email every week. It's going to have your grocery list, your instructions for prepping your meals, and after only 1 to 3 hours of prepping on the weekend, you have all your meals ready for the entire week. My favorite part about the prep time is that it's all done according to action, like you're going to cut everything that you have to cut for the whole week at once. And then if you're going to bake stuff, everything gets baked all at once. So you're not jumping all around, trying to think of the flow of things. She does all that for you. You don't even have to think. And sometimes I just want a break from all the thinking about all the feeding of all these people. So this week, my house is going to be having some paleo and gluten-free chocolate bliss energy bites. These things are so good. My biggest problem is how to not eat all of them as soon as I make them. Also, my husband's favorite, baba ganoush, which is basically like hummus but made with eggplant. It is so much better than it sounds. The founder, Allison, is offering you guys a 2-week free trial. Go to prepdish.com/SWP. That's prepdish.com/SWP for 2 weeks free. Okay, so you've got this ability to kind of press pause on the outer world so that you can look inside and notice things.
Right.
Have you always had that?
I don't know if I would say I have an ability to press pause. I think it's they coexist at the same time. I think it's a gift, but it can also be a burden sometimes because I can get lost on the inside of my head rather than being experiencing things that are actually happening in the real world. But I do think I've always been, even as a kid, I was always a kid who was sort of a observer of life and paying attention. I didn't always extract meaning or apply that in any useful way. And sometimes it would get me in trouble because I would think I was seeing something and I would apply meaning to it or intention to people that wasn't there. So that's a danger.
Yeah.
But in general, I do think it's been something that's grown in me, but it's also been something I sort of naturally do.
Okay. How do you, because I tend to be somebody who doesn't give myself permission to check in with myself.
Why not?
Well, I mean, I think that I'm just so busy achieving tasks that I think when I have a moment, then I'll do that. Does that make sense?
I see.
And so, but you seem to be able to kind of go back and forth a little bit.
Yeah, I think so.
I think what I like about what you do, your podcast and the book, is all you're kind of doing is saying it's okay to do that and then guiding people through it. You know what I mean? Like,
sure,
it's not,
yeah.
I don't mean this in any way. I mean, because I listen to your podcast faithfully, so it's not as though it's not revolutionary what you're saying,
sure.
Except that you're saying it's okay and let's do it together. Like you're kind of helping us make space in our own schedules to do the thing we know is probably a good idea, but didn't know where to put it.
It's exactly right. I think you said that well. And I think there are few things in life that are revolutionary or new.
Exactly.
And I think as humans, we are often, we think we're looking for new, but we're actually really searching for true. Mm. We just want to know what's true and who's living it. And can I live it too? Can I access that? And we sometimes put it off because we think, well, there'll be something that will come along that will make this easier. It's like, you know, when you're like, oh, I should be healthier. And we are looking for a new way to do that. Mm-hmm. But then we just keep hearing the same old advice, like eat better and exercise. And we kind of wish it was different.
Yeah.
Like, where's the magic answer?
Exactly. The quicker
and
one.
Instead, yeah. It's just sort of like, this is just kind of our life that we have. And it's sort of an ordinary daily thing.
Yes. So regarding soul care, that's something that feels ethereal and I just can't quite know if I'm doing it well. And in all the things regarding self-care, we think, okay, so you get a pedicure, you know, that's self-care. And it's so much deeper than that. But sometimes when I think of soul care, I think, okay, well, I just need to be quiet for an hour and everything just needs to be clean and like a spa, you know, area. It just needs to be like, when I think of you, I think she's on a patio somewhere, like a beautiful porch, having a cup of tea, just gazing off into the far distance with like a soft smile, like everything's fine all the time. And then in my own life, I have a hard time translating that because that's not where I live. So I want to talk about, and I know it's not where you live either, but you know, when I hear you for like 15 minutes a week and you're so calm and I think, oh, I want that. Talk to me about soul care and how do you get to that deeper place? So it's not just getting a massage. That's not what we're looking for. We think that's going to scratch the itch, but it's not.
Yeah. And that can be, there's a place for that. But I do think there's a myth that says it has to look a certain way. Part of this practice is paying attention to your own life. What are the things in your life historically, even just taking some time to reflect? And when I say time, I mean like 10 minutes. It doesn't have to be a long period of time.
Yeah.
To reflect and say, when in my life have I felt drawn towards God? And when in my life have I felt distant from Him? And what are the things that I've engaged in that draw me to Him? And what are the things that don't? And honestly, sometimes reading your Bible is something for a season for some people that makes you feel distant from Him. Mm. And I'm not advocating not to do it,
right.
But I am saying there's something to paying attention. What are the things right now, this week, that are drawing me to Him? And might I choose to do some of those things or one of those things on purpose? And so when we get trapped in that myth of thinking it has that soul care looks one certain way, I mean, our soul is something individual to each one of us. You know, it's our mind, it's our will, it's our emotions. It's the part of us where sort of where we become who we are. It's the part of us that is invisible, but it's not though, because it's made visible by our choices and the way we move through the world. Hmm. And we all do that really differently. And so it's unfair of us to put on ourselves that this has to look a certain kind of way. And even just giving ourselves permission to figure out with our friend Jesus in God's presence to ask him. And I think sometimes we just fail to do that and be like, we think we have to figure this out on our own. But I think even just saying to him, Lord, when have I felt close to you? I don't even know. It's been so long, I don't even know. And I really think that's a question he would love to answer. Mm-hmm. And giving ourselves permission to ask it could be one next right step.
Absolutely. I heard somebody say one time that as they were processing their view of God, it was like he was the boss in a boardroom and you were just trying to like show him all the things you did so that he knew that you were kind of up to snuff. You know what I mean? And I think that that really resonated with me. It's like, I do. I think God is like, he would be so disappointed if I wasn't on it enough to know what he wanted, to do it ahead of time, to anticipate his desires for me. But it sounds so much nicer.
It's so much nicer. Well, and I'm glad you brought that up, because how we see God will influence how we make decisions and how we feel about it. If we see him as this cosmic trickster, then we will think that he's hiding the right answer from us and we have to guess and get it right. And if we get it wrong, woe is me, right? Mm-hmm. Or if we just see him as like a passive grandfather, that will affect how we make decisions. We will not feel safe. We will feel alone. We will feel abandoned. None of that would we ever say out loud. I would never say, oh, well, I see God as a cosmic trickster. Yeah. Like, we don't say that, but we live it. Dallard often would say that people don't live what they profess they believe, but they always live what they believe.
Yeah.
And so I can profess one thing, but what I actually believe is where I actually live. And so that's kind of where it all has to start.
So what does that look like when you see a dissonance between what you profess and what you're living? What do you do?
I don't always see it. And I think when Jesus said, when you see me, you see the Father, that's one place I start, is starting with him, because many times there's a disconnect for me between the life of Jesus and the way I imagine God the Father. Mm. I think maybe a lot of people feel that way. I could be wrong, but from people I've talked with, I think a lot of us see Jesus as maybe more friendly and more warm and more present and human, because he was and is. But then God the Father feels distant, and some of those weird things, that narratives that we have in our heads, usually apply to God the Father, I would say. I think that's true. A lot. Mm-hmm. So when I see that disconnect, I think reading the Gospels helps. Reading a story about Jesus and remembering his words when he said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. That he is an expression, a full expression of his Father. And that sometimes doesn't feel like it could be true, but it's also really hopeful to think that that's true. To bring that image, those two things together more closely, that's one place to start.
I like that. That's really good. Yeah, I had never thought about that. I want to tell you about Robinhood. It's an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos all commission-free. It's a really non-intimidating way for stock market newcomers to invest for the first time with true confidence. They have easy-to-understand charts and market data. You can place a trade in just 4 taps on your smartphone. You get to learn how to invest as you build your portfolio and discover new stocks and track favorite companies with personalized news feeds. I've used the app. It's very simple, and I don't know anything about any of these things. It was very fun. I enjoyed myself. Robinhood is giving listeners a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help build your portfolio. Sign up at struggle.robinhood.com. That's struggle.robinhood.com. Okay, so I wanted you to tell me about the creative process and how being creative is a part of soul transformation for you.
That's a good question. I think when we talk about creativity, a lot of us discount our own creativity, or we say, well, I'm not creative. I hear that a lot. People say, oh, that's good that you talk about that. I mean, that's great for other people, but I'm no artist. And when we hear the word artist, we think painter, singer, dancer. And that is true. They are artists, and that's how we define that. But since the first thing that we know about God is that he created, the very first verse in scripture, and then the first thing we know about humans is we're made in his image, then the logical conclusion would be that we are made in the image of a creative God, which means that we have been given the gift of creativity in whatever form. And so though we have been conditioned to believe that means a certain type of expression, some of the most logical people I know are also the most creative people. They're solving problems. They are managing relationships. I mean, we're talking people who are mathematicians and people who are, I mean, these are creative expressions. They might look very logical, but they're also creative expressions of being a person, being mm-hmm. a human on earth as a reflection of God. Yeah. And so when we deny ourselves the expression, the ability to express who we are in whatever way, then we are not able to show up as the full people we've been created to be. I believe there is a connection between accessing that place within us that is creative and hosts desire and all the things, and also the health of our own soul. It's just, we are wholehearted humans. Colossians talks about that he holds all things together in him are all things. And that means all things. And so we too, as humans, we can't parcel out ourselves and like, well, this is the little part of my life where I'm creative. And this is the little part where I'm spiritual, quote unquote. And this is, you know, it's like, no, it's all kind of one thing. And I can make dinner in a creative way. And it can be a very spiritual thing, even though I'm not praying, even though I'm not at church. You know, there's this, because I'm a spiritual person. It's because God is in me and he's expressing himself through me in whatever ways as I cooperate with him that happens.
So would you say for, like, my listeners are exhausted women largely who would tell, you know, either one of us, they don't have the margin for that or don't have the money for that. Because you do think I've got to go to Michael's and buy all of the watercolors supplies if I'm going to be creative. So what I'm hearing you say is kind of just being aware of how to be creative in the things you're already doing.
Or even a better question could be being aware of who you are and what makes you come alive in the things you're doing.
Because
even taking away the word creative, because that then puts it in this place of different from what I normally do. Right. Like, it's just a life. It's living your life as fully yourself. And today that might look like giving toddlers a bath, but there can be, and I'm not saying that's going to feel beautiful or it's going to feel like a creative thing, but we have permission to show up and to be fully present in that space to the extent that we are able. And if we are unable, we can trust that Jesus will fill in the gaps and he's there with us. And even if we have a breakdown, even if we have a terrible day, like, I think there are always opportunities to see where he might be moving and where we can join him. And I don't think it's ever too late. And it really does begin with, okay, this morning was the actual worst. And I am the actual worst. But right now I have an opportunity to simply ask myself the question, what's the next right thing for me to do right now? And sometimes that might be go take a shower. Just take a shower. It's going to be okay. Or it could be reheat that cup of coffee for the fourth time or make a new pot. And so that, I don't think any of us would call those acts creative necessarily, but I do think giving ourselves permission, and we've said that a lot in this conversation, to simply do one thing at a time lays the foundation for living a life that actually creates margin as you live it so that you can be more aware of those opportunities for creativity or for full expression. Because I think one of the reasons why we feel so overwhelmed is we look at all the things at once that we have to do, all the things that remain undone within us and on the outside of us. And we feel the pressure of it all at once. And so our only option is to either try to tackle everything and we get burned out, or we just give up. And I think the invitation is, what is your next right thing right now? Do that. And then ask yourself the question again. And there's a calming that happens. There's a release. There's some relief there. And I have found that to be saving my life right now.
I was going to ask, how's it different? How are you different now?
Well, you said a minute ago that when you listened to me on the podcast, that you imagine me sitting on a patio and staring off into the distance. That is how it's changed, because I have not sat on my patio and stared off in the distance for probably 2 years. Okay. That is just not my reality. I am in the busiest season of my life I think I've ever been in. I'm in grad school. Yeah. I have a book coming out, it's all wonderful things. Got 2 kids in high school, 1 in middle school. It's just, the schedule is insane. It feels insane. But asking myself, what is your next right thing right now, has literally been saving my life, I feel like. And I say literally, even though I know that's probably an exaggeration, because not that I would die if I hadn't, but in some ways.
Inside, maybe, yeah.
On the inside. And so staying right here, like here we are in this conversation, and I can stay here. Mm. Now, I also have the opportunity in my mind to rush off into what I have to do next, and then I could be distracted. Like I do that sometimes. I'm not saying I do this perfectly, but that question of doing the next right thing and watching how Jesus lived his life on earth, he moved through the world at a walking pace. He was never rushing, and he wasn't rushing to the next thing because I don't know if he knew the next thing. I mean, I think he could have because he's God, yeah. But I also think Philippians says he gave up his right to divinity so that he could connect with us humanly. And so I think he sort of left all of that in his Father's hands, and he lived a life of doing the next right thing in love. And when I watch that, it's like, what? That is just not how I would have done it.
Yeah.
But remembering that not only did he live his life that way, that is the same way he wants to live his life in me today.
Yeah. And I think even if you are very, very busy, you help us picture, you give me hope that there is an Emily, this is weird talking to another Emily, but an Emily inside that can be sitting down, having a cup of tea and looking off into the future.
You can sit down on the inside, and that is infinite. That can be infinitely more powerful than actually sitting down on the outside.
I agree.
Not that there's not a place for both, but we can carry his peace with us into a chaotic room. We do not have to wait for the room to settle down as much as we've been taught the contrary. You know, I think we're taught, well, everything, the environment has to be right and everything has to be calmed down before I can rest. When in fact, it's the opposite, that we can bring rest with us on the inside, even though things are maybe don't feel okay on the outside.
It's good. I love it. Well, your show has been so helpful to me, and I love your book. So everybody needs to get it. Yes.
Thank you.
I want to real quick ask you a couple questions in a lightning round because fun.
Because of fun reasons.
It's fun reasons. Number one, would you rather have a dog with a cat personality or a cat with a dog personality?
Well, I have both. I have a cat with a dog personality and a dog with a cat. Yes, I 100% do.
That is so random.
It's really weird. We have a cat and a dog, and when it rains outside, they both get in the doghouse. The dog like lets the cat, like he's, you know, it's weird. It's a weird thing. The dog licks his paws like a cat does.
No.
I'm not kidding you. If I get it on video, I'll send it to you.
I cannot believe I asked you that question.
I know. And I have both. And which one would I rather? It depends on the day.
Okay. Well, there you go. What strange food combination do you really love?
Oh, well, one thing I haven't had in a long time, but when I was younger, we used to eat toast with, and then we would put peanut butter on a plate and then pour maple syrup over it and stir it all up like a mush and then dip the toast in it. And it's the most delicious thing ever.
That sounds so good. I love all of those ingredients.
Maple syrup, right?
Yes. So good. I just went to Vermont and it changed my life. All the maple syrup.
Yeah.
Okay. So something you really resent having to pay for.
Oh my gosh. Sometimes everything. I don't know.
Can't everything just be free? Come on.
Sometimes cable, like we have cable TV, but it's so dumb. Like, why do we have this? But then at the same time, I think, and when it doesn't work, like sometimes it goes out.
Yeah.
But I guess I don't resent it because that feels so first worldy, but I could just watch Hulu, but I have to pay for that too.
You do.
But it's cheaper.
Sure, it is. It sure is. I put myself through college at coffee shops. And so I still paying for like a latte makes me so sad. Okay, so most interesting documentary that you've ever watched?
Oh my gosh.
Do you like them?
I do like documentaries.
You seem like you would like documentaries.
I do, but I'm trying to think of one that I've watched that was the most interesting. Well, I hate to say one of the most memorable was the one about McDonald's, the one that the guy did where he ate.
Super Size Me?
Yes.
Yes.
It's ruined me.
I can't go
so
there.
So I don't know if it was the most interesting, but it stayed with me all these years.
Okay.
Like he had chronic health problems after that month.
In a hurry.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
I watched one once about whistling competitions. It's called Pucker Up. And it was, my husband was watching and I'm like, why are we doing this to our lives? And it was fascinating.
Isn't that amazing? If someone's a good enough storyteller, you can watch anything.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's true. Okay. And then finally, what can you not stop talking about?
Well, right now it's ThredUp, which is this online consignment secondhand.
I love them. I get their little boxes.
I can't stop talking about ThredUp because it's like you're buying these clothes that are used clothes, you know, like because Like I've sold stuff through ThredUp, but then it's like good stuff because it's already been washed, so you know it won't shrink. But it's, you can search for like brand names you like or whatever, and they have all everything. Everything I have on today is from ThredUp, actually.
I love their stuff.
I love it. Yeah, it's great.
It's so cheap too.
Yeah, it depends on what you get, but yeah, it can be
cheaper than if it was new.
It's cheaper than it would be if you bought it. Yes, for sure.
Yes. Well, Emily, thank you for talking to me today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
You are so welcome. And I hope everybody gets your book because they will love it. So I'm sure you loved everything that Emily had to say. It's such a great message because we all have a next thing and we hope to choose correctly. Maybe your strategy to struggle well this week could be listening to Emily's podcast if you haven't. They're short. They have a lot of great content in them, and I'm sure you're going to enjoy them. Get her book, order it on Amazon using the podcast affiliate link. You can go to amazon.com/shop/strugglewellproject, order The Next Right Thing. I got it a couple months ago, and it's really good. It's definitely worth ordering and reading. Just a reminder, if you got something great out of this episode, hit share. Let somebody know about it. They will be so impressed with you for sending along such amazing content that you will be their hero. And isn't that what we all really want, is to be someone's hero? I think I've gotten a little off topic. Okay, so also hit subscribe because next week my sister and I are going to be talking about the ways that we struggle well in spring. And also, don't forget to join me on your favorite social media channel. Mine is Instagram. You can find me at Struggle Well Project. Together, we will continue the practice of loving our actual lives. And remember, ladies, perfection is nonsense. Peace is a perspective shift away. You can stop striving because you are already enough. Let me pray for us. Lord, these decisions, they just keep coming. I think we make like 35,000 decisions a day. It totally makes sense that we are exhausted from making decisions and really hoping that the next one is not a complete disaster. Lord, would you give us wisdom? Your word says that if we ask you for wisdom, you will give it to us like abundantly. You do not get chintzy handing out the wisdom. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would help us wait and just slow down enough to hear from you on what our next right thing is. Thank you that you've never, ever left us and you've never failed us yet. So I don't believe that you're going to start now. In Jesus' name, amen.